FNC. On Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5.
Crush a bit, little bit, roll it up, take a hit, feeling lit, feeling like 2 a.m. summer night, I don't care.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
60 minutes on the clock. That means we got an hour left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The fun police is in the building, which means it's over.
Who's
the week
fun
has
police?
Been fun. AJ's back. So therefore, it looks like Fred and AJ and the band is back together with Aaron for the Blitz at 4. Taking it till 7.
The fun police, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. You can be in a perfectly great mood, and we can be having a great show, and we go to break, and that freaking door opens up, and it's not us leaving. It's someone coming in, and he comes in, and for the first 15 seconds, he doesn't say a word. He just looks at you, and I just go, why? Because I know now, even I don't care what comes out of his mouth after that, the fact that he's looking at you and he's pausing means you are going to be so pissed off by the time he leaves.
Is that true, Nicholas? Does that happen?
I always wonder what he's up to when he walks in. Let's be real.
Yeah.
He gives you that look.
Yeah, see, that's the... He starts when he knows it's all you, when he starts with a look, saying nothing, and about 10 to 15 seconds, because he knows by the time the 15th second hits, you're going to be like, what? What do you want? You're already worked up.
I feel like it's easier for me to handle because I'm in the control room and I can just turn my mic off and say, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
But you guys are on the air talking, and he's just looking right at you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what Barry did to Charlie Polillo. So really, he's giving you a taste of your own medicine.
Yeah, well, but he doesn't do that to anybody else. Let's be real.
That's probably true.
AJ doesn't come to John and Lance's show and interrupt them. He doesn't do that with John or Raheel with Dale. He doesn't interrupt Charlie.
God, he would never do that.
No. It's just us. He comes in and screams at me.
What's Charlie going to do?
Exactly. Well, but still, he's not. He comes in and he yells at us, and that's it. We're
the guinea pigs.
Is that what you'd call it?
Sacrificial lamb.
That's probably.
You want me to go on?
Yeah.
Oh, but okay. Seems like we're doing okay. So, all right. So,
I mean, you know, third in the market. That ain't bad.
Third show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Top three shows. Yeah, not third in the market. We're one in our slot.
Well, I'm saying sports talk. When I say market, I mean our market. Right. Sports talk market.
Yeah. So
it's not, that's not terrible.
That number one sports station, that's all him. Yeah. So good to see the bosses back. He'll be in with Fred at 4, take it till 7. You do nothing but listen to the number one sports station in town, ESPN 97.5.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
We always have a lot of fun in the 3 o'clock hour on a Friday. We don't have to get super sportsy.
Right.
Unless you want to, and I'm down for that as well.
Okay.
But there's, you know, sometimes you see hashtag games where people will say, oh, change a movie using one word, you know, and then... That would be like, instead of Full Metal Jacket, it'd be like Full Metal Sweater or something stupid like that, right? Like, so they have these. Well, there was one that I thought was pretty interesting, and it was hashtag 12-year-old things you would tell your 12-year-old self.
Okay.
And I know what I would tell my 12-year-old self. I was curious what you guys, if you could go back and give your 12-year-old self advice. And it could be there's a lot of things I think we would all go back and tell our 12. But if I only allowed you to narrow it down to one thing, one single thing that you would go back and tell yourself.
Whiskey is bad.
That's your advice.
Don't do it.
Whiskey is bad. I like that. That's good advice.
Avoid comedians.
You
they can kill you.
You.
Comedians kill. No, you know what? I think.
I deserve that.
I think more than anything else, it would be something along the lines of, because everybody, when you're from little on, is always focused on, it's what you know. You got to hit the books. You got to get, this GPA. You got to do this. But along the way, it's as much about who you know as what you know if you want to get anywhere in life. And it doesn't matter if it's in the entertainment industry, sports industry, whatever it is. Sure, you need to get through school and you need to get that piece of paper, but it's so, so much more valuable in a lot of ways to really respect and remember and keep relationships with the people you meet along the way, because you never know when someone can open a door for you.
That's good advice. I had a bunch of them, and I was trying to decide if it was if I had to narrow it down. Like I talked about, don't put a lot of faith and trust in people so easily. Make them earn it. Because I think that's one of my issues right now is I'm kind of gullible in that regard. Right? I just trust people way too soon. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
But another one was like, go for it. And that has to do with me waiting to start comedy until I was 38. Oh, yeah. Don't wait to start. If you have a dream, I mean, it's obviously never too late, but I knew I wanted to be a comic when I was 12 years old. I just never thought about actually going for it. Even in my 20s, I never considered trying to be a comic. I waited until I was 38 and unemployed. And then I was like, what the hell else am I going to do? And AJ hooked me up with John Wessling, and the rest is history. But I think the one thing I would have told myself that I learned actually going through my first divorce is, no matter what, be honest with yourself. Like, whether it's about love or career or whatever, just I feel like a lot of times that's my – for me, I can't speak for anybody else. But a lot of times I think I know what – if I was honest with myself, what I would do or a decision I would make or something I would say or not say. But it's hard for me to be honest with myself in that regard. Like, it took me forever to leave my ex-wife.
I was going
to
say –
because I wasn't honest about, with myself that I was unhappy.
When you talked about on the show about being at the altar
– yes.
And not listening to the gut feeling that you had.
Yeah. And that was 3 years before I left her.
Woo, baby.
So 3 years of being in a marriage I didn't want to be in. And, you know, 18 years of in a career I didn't want. And so, I mean, that would be the big thing for me is do whatever.
It
be
is.
Honest with you. Even if you're not completely honest with everyone around you, be honest with yourself.
Because that's the thing. When you think about it, the one thing you can't buy back and get back and trade back or do any make any deal is the time. So if you just said that was 3 years, man, you might be the happiest in the world with Nora and your career and everything else. You could sit back and go, damn, if I only had those 3 years.
Yes.
And you can't get them. That's why, I don't know if you saw this, it's a Netflix movie now, but it's all based around the story of, I believe they're called the Central Park Five. It was back in the day.
Yep.
These five guys that were in Central Park, and the woman running was sexually assaulted, and the characters in the story, and the one kid in specifically was supporting his friend who was being called into the police station, and he was like, I need to console him, I got to make sure he gets through this, I'm going with him. And it was all a setup to get him in, and then it turned out all five did time for a crime they didn't commit, and the guy that got the biggest punishment and the most years behind bars was the guy consoling his friend to come in. And he did 15 years of time. And then after that point, there was a huge lawsuit. They were all set free. And they were given, I believe, $40 million to split amongst the five of them. Wow. He, because he did the most time, got $12.5 million. But when you think about it, is $12.5 million going to make up for the 15 years of time when you were a child, a teenager? You know,
lost the best years of your life.
That's what I'm saying. The best years of your life, and no matter what money you got and what they tried to do now, nothing is going to make up for that.
Yeah, but Joel, there's no problem in this country with stuff like that. That's not an issue.
Really?
That's just me being sarcastic.
I know it is.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow when you think about, I mean, you lost the prime of your life. 15 years that you can't get back, and you essentially, what, they got a million, he got a million a year for that, roughly?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it.
That's just not enough.
People are in relationships for five years, and they're like, I can never get those 5 years back. And they didn't even do time.
Yeah.
They didn't even do time.
Yeah.
So. And you know how you always say you didn't want to be mean? You don't want to be mean, so you hang in there.
Stick around too long and become jaded.
If you're not going to be mean to someone else, you're really hurting your own self, because the longer you stay in is longer time you've lost.
I find that's kind of the realization that I had. And, you know, we were on two different paths and two different people, and she wanted some things that would make her happy, and I wanted my wants were the opposite. And I was like, you know what? It sucks, but this is actually better for both of us.
You wanted cupcakes. She wanted gluten-free. Like,
I wanted cupcakes, and she wanted to go work out. Like, this is she's the softball player. She was an athlete.
Oh, she wanted a protein shake, not an athlete. You wanted Shipley's.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you didn't care how many donut holes made of donuts.
That's right. I wanted to sleep all day. She did not. Yeah, it was just, but, you know, she ended up getting everything she wanted. She got a house, kids, a great husband who served in the military. God rest his soul. He was killed in duty. But she got all the things she wanted, and I did too. Yeah. So it was best for all of us, and all it really was about being honest with myself.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting, and I liked seeing different people's advice. Some people were stupid. Some people were like, the typical one from most dudes was like, it won't make you go blind. All right. If you think of a joke, like right off the bat, throw that joke away, because that's the joke everybody thought of. But somebody did text a couple of good ones. Somebody said, buy Amazon and Apple. Oh, if you could go back and tell your 12-year-old self.
Yes.
Buy Amazon and Apple. Actually, I'd probably buy Microsoft.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would tell my 12-year-old self to have sex more.
Jeez.
I mean, who has to tell themselves that?
Maybe.
Who's out there going, nah, that's too much sex for me. I'm gonna scale it back. I don't need all this sex.
Are they saying at 12 or just in general?
I think in general.
Because I was like, at 12, you better not.
I feel like if that was a dude that texted that, no dude has to tell himself to have more sex. You just have more sex. And most dudes have to tell themselves, that's probably enough. Like, you're going to wear it out. Like, it's going to fall off. And then somebody texted, damn, Joel out here dropping some damn facts on us. Best advice I never thought about, but will definitely focus on this with my kids now.
Wow.
Look at you, buddy.
There you go. All right.
Changing the world.
Hey, one comment at a time. So I'll screw it up some way, but between now and 4 o'clock, but we appreciate that as well. We'll keep rolling around. There's a lot of other funny stuff. One kind of sports related, but I think you're going to have some fun with
it.
Pete Rose spent a little time on Mike Francesca's show in New York. And obviously in New York, Yankees fans, Joe DiMaggio stories. So when we come back, we'll get you Pete Rose's breakdown of a situation with Joe DiMaggio. Pretty interesting.
Why do you think, I know what this is about, why do you think I would have fun with this? I don't like the terms you've used here.
And first of all, I didn't say meaning you, period. I think Nick will have fun with it, you'll have fun with it, the listeners will have fun with it.
Okay.
Because when you think about one of the hit king, Pete Rose, and one of the great all-time baseball players, you probably don't think that Jolton Joe stories are going to be giving Joe a shower. So we can get to that and a whole lot more. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual
ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yes, I do. It makes for better sports. Everybody knows children that grow up in broken homes make great athletes. LeBron, how'd you get all that strength? Weight training? Nuh-uh. I carried a family since I was 5. That's how it's fun.
There you go. It's our final clip from our comedian of the week on an F Yeah Friday. Trey Tutson. As Barry gave you some backstory on him. Funny dude, local dude. Check him out if you get a chance.
Yeah, man. Put him on your list. He's got what might be one of my favorite jokes, and it's an absolute true story about him getting in a fight with a man with no arms.
Really?
Which, in and of itself.
I hope he didn't lose.
No, Trey didn't lose. But he was on stage. And this dude with no arms, and I'm not trying to tell the joke. I'm just telling you the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because the joke is just amazing. It's just one of the funniest things I've ever heard because the way he describes it. At one point, he said, when the dude rushed the stage, it was kind of like a giraffe charging at me. But he tells this whole story. But basically what happened was Trey was on stage, and this dude with no arms was heckling him. Now, look, I'm a lot of things. But if I didn't have arms, the last thing I'm going to do is start making fun of someone else who is on stage with a microphone. Like, I'm definitely not.
There's advice
heckling.
To your 12-year-old yeah. self right
hey,
there.
12-year-old self, if you happen to lose your arms, don't heckle a comic at a comedy show. There might be some no-arm jokes headed your way.
Ramifications might not have been what you expected.
At one point, like, they had a tip jar, because in some shows, more of the, like, hipster alt shows, they'll pass around a tip jar. And people can tip the comedians, and the comedians split it and whatnot. A lot of that happens at, like, free shows. Like, if you just show up to, like, a coffee shop sure. and it's free, and then they'll do a tip jar or whatever for the comics to get them a little scratch. But I think he said at one point that dude, like, karate kicked the tip jar because he couldn't throw it. So he punted it. Like, he figured a way to throw the tip jar at Trey by kicking it. It's just, honest to God, if you see Trey on a flyer for comedy, go to that show. Dude is hilarious. And only something like that would happen to him. Outstanding.
So there you go.
Go check it out.
So you can check out Trey whenever you get a chance. But funny, funny dude. And, of course, local guy, too, which is always what we like to support. Yeah. And he's worked with Barry.
He'll make it big one day. I like to say I worked with him because one day he's going to have to take me on the road because he's going to be famous. Wow. And I won't.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody had texted about the podcast was our hour one was Charlie and not our hour one. They were going to listen. That has been fixed, sir and or ma'am. So
as soon as we found out.
Able. That's right.
That's not going
to
be the way.
Yeah, we don't want you to have to listen to Charlie, for God's
but...
sake.
But... He does do that a lot.
I didn't notice that until
his transition is but
okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before the break, we were talking about Pete Rose doing a little radio in New York, and Mike Francesa wants to talk about Joe DiMaggio. Well, you think it's a baseball story,
sure,
but it's not.
What? It's about Maryland.
It's about more than that.
Okay,
sounds a little.
You went on a tour with DiMaggio.
I won't talk about it. Don't
worry. Well, listen. All right. Listen. Well, you know, the old saying.
He was the best, by the way.
When Marilyn Monroe was asked about Sinatra, she said he's no DiMaggio. Oh, yeah. And you can explain why. Because you gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Yeah, I did.
Tell people how you gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Well, no. Can I do the whole story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle.
He went to Vietnam with Joe DiMaggio on a tour.
Yeah, 23 days I live with Joe. Right. And it's so hot you can't sleep, and all of a sudden Joe says, I got to take a shower. I said, Joe, we're not downtown Saigon. We're in the damn middle of the jungle. He said, I don't give a darn. I'm Joe DiMaggio. I got to take a shower. So the only way he could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water, pour it into this canvas thing.
Pour it over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe so Joe weird. DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it. You're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike. You know how we call them thongs today?
I understand.
When I played, they
that
called them
the
shar
point.
Shoes.
I understand.
Joe wore three of them.
I understand. Okay. So, yes. So,
I'm going to tell you something. That guy was
three
the greatest.
Three shower shoes? That's amazing. Three shower shoes is a great line.
Yeah. And Pete Rose, and remember now, you and I met him. And when he was here, I think he told a
funny
similar
dude.
Story amongst
yeah,
other
did.
Stories. But the thing that was interesting to me was when we sat down with him, you and I were talking to him at Wildcat outside. Anyone would throw any question at him. His mind was like a steel trap.
Yeah.
He like I remember Salisbury was asking him stuff about, hey, in 76 when you're playing the Red Sox and what think about this. And he's like, well, the funny thing was it was a 2-2 count. And the first two pitches he threw me was this. Then I fouled off that many pitches. And I'm just thinking, I'm shaking my head going, he remembers all of that.
You know, it's so funny that that came up because I don't know how we got on this topic. And I'm opening myself up to criticism, I know. But... Right. When I was in Dallas, no, when I was in Arkansas in El Dorado,
yeah,
and that transgender comic was on the show.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about men. And I don't remember I don't know how it came up, but I remember we were talking about like Yao Ming and Shaq. And I was like, man, I bet, you know, if you're Shaq or you're Yao and you're 7'6, your penis has to be like 3 feet. Like it's just, and so the transgender Robin goes, you'd be surprised. Most of those big guys aren't really big guys. It's those real skinny ones. And I was like, okay, I don't need all this extra info. But she goes, like, there was the misconception. Frank Sinatra wanted everyone to think that he was large down there, but he wasn't. That was a rumor.
Wait, he wanted people? I didn't know
he
that.
He told people he was. He made people around him say he was. But apparently he wasn't. He was below average. And she even mentioned Joe DiMaggio. She was like, he was known to be blessed. And I think it all related to Marilyn Monroe and all that. Because of that, she did say he's known.
Now that you mention it, think about Ariana Grande
and
Pete Davidson.
Yeah. So I just was like, wow. That's funny how that came up again, though.
Yeah.
That's – I would probably – look, no dude that's not – needing a third shower, she was gonna be like, hey, let's all go shower and stare at me naked. No, you gotta be blessed if you're like, yeah, whatever, let's do it.
Yeah, because if you are, you're not bashful,
you ain't scared to show it.
No, because you know, when I moved here, I had friends that grew up here and they were all like friends for a long time, and they just had a field day talking about, and if someone knew, hey, do you know so and so? Because he is, and I'm like, dude, I don't even know that. And they're like, we've been dealing with this since before puberty when we were in grade. I'm like,
what are you doing
looking at his junk?
Don't post him up.
And they're like, hey, he wasn't afraid to just whip her. I'm like, okay, man. Well, that was a different childhood than I had with my friends, but you do you, fellas.
Yeah, I don't recall ever having to see any of my friends' penises growing up. That doesn't seem like a fun thing to do. If I had seen all of my friends' penises, we're being friends weird.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem like a thing that would take place.
I don't know about all of them,
place.
But one in particular, they were all quite fond of talking about. I was like, glad I didn't grow up with you guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
I didn't want any part of that.
By the way, somebody texted and said, be nice to Charlie. He was plugging your show earlier.
He does it every day.
Yeah, but why? How were we mean to Charlie?
We weren't.
I was going to say, I know we bust chops.
No, it doesn't count. He doesn't say our name, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, he says the usual suspects.
He used to say the usual suspects with Joel Berry and Nick. If he says the usual suspects, it doesn't count.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
he says our names.
No, he doesn't.
We bust his chops. Okay. We bust everybody's chops.
He busts our chops. When we walk in here, it's like a firing squad. When we open the door to the studio, he's always got a little crack coming out.
Yeah. He's always,
And then he says something.
See, you. Wow. You weren't nice at all.
I was thinking today when he was talking about stump Charlie questions, and I'm like, well, I didn't know they called you a stump. I just knew that you were a smaller guy.
Oh, you see? You ain't right at all.
There you go.
God, that was a good story by Pete Rowe, though.
That was a good find on the audio. And again, we talked about it when he was in town. I just think I completely understand everybody that thinks he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because of betting on baseball as a manager. But I don't know how you keep the guy out for what he did on the field.
Yeah.
On the field, being the hit king of all time, and you know he played the game the right way and hard. He knocked Ray Fosse out and changed his career in an all-star game, taking him out at home plate. He played the right way, and I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And he's done his time as well.
I think so. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why you couldn't know. He knows what he did.
Yeah, so I just figured we'd put that on a Friday. That'd be a fun little tidbit to get to, or not so little, as the case may be.
That was a poor choice of words on your part to describe that.
Well, you do what you can. So as we continue to roll into the final half hour of the show, we're going to take you up until 4, then the Blitz is going to take you till 7. I did want to kind of get to this. It popped up yesterday. But it's interesting because it comes from a guy that has been very critical of others and playing hurt in the NBA playoffs. But Paul Pierce comes out and admits what really happened in the infamous wheelchair game. You remember when he was hurt on the floor and he needed a wheelchair to go back to the locker room?
Yes.
And then remarkably, he came back like Willis Reed later?
Yes.
There's a backstory, Barry. It's very interesting.
Okay. Right, oh, so we'll get to that.
You see what I did?
Stop.
Hey.
Watch it
look
now.
Look out now. Half hour to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show. 30 minutes on the clock to be specific before the Blitz takes you home. 4-7, AJ, Fred, and Aaron as the band is back together for the Blitz. You just listened to the number one sports station in the market.
You damn right.
97.5. Do yourself a favor on the way home. Start your weekend the right way and listen to us. So, it's interesting. Paul Pierce has been a guy, we know he gets his predictions wrong and pisses people off. Then recently with the Golden State injuries.
That doesn't happen to us.
Yeah, no. He's been calling out guys about suck it up, play hurt. I mean, we're all hurt at some point, but get out there. And even some of the guys are like, man, slow down a little bit. You know, you're going a little overboard. Now, he comes out and makes on Larry Brown Sports the stunning admission that the famous wheelchair incident in the wheelchair game, he said he just had to go to the bathroom. He said on the court, if you want to refresh your memory, game one of the 2008 NBA Finals, Celtics-Lakers in Boston, Pierce guarding Kobe Bryant, third quarter, goes down, grabs his knee after a Bryant shot. Pierce was carried off the court, then placed in a wheelchair where he was wheeled into the locker room. About a minute later in the game, he comes bouncing out of the tunnel, onto the sidelines, checks back into the ballgame, everything fine. The amount of pain he was in and the way he was able to quickly return did not add up. But he never divulged his secret till now. He said the factor was someone was behind him as he was carried off the court. The suspicion is the person was shielding viewers from seeing his backside. He admitted he had already possibly pooped himself.
Well, wait, what? All right, hold on. Plot twist. I could see it coming where you said he had to poop. But I was not expecting you to tell me he crapped his pants.
So he
on the
won't
floor.
Admit whether he crapped his pants or not, but they said when you go
he
back in the video,
when
you go back and look at the video now, they're carrying him off, but yet still there's one extra guy, like the assistant equipment guy, that's strategically walking right behind him as they carried him off the court.
Wow. So that would explain the wheelchair, too.
Because
so,
remember, cause everybody was
walk.
Like, dude, he's really hurt. He might be out for the rest of the series, and this is game one. And then here he comes about a minute later, like, I'm back.
Could you imagine the discussion and how that happened? Like, he's on the ground, like, oh, my knee. And the trainers come out there, like, what's wrong? He's like, okay, guys, now nobody look. Bobby, I said don't look. You know, as soon as you tell someone don't look, the first thing
they
do,
you're looking.
You're like, don't look at that ugly chick over there. And they're
the
like,
lady
her?
The lady changing her shirt in the parking
lot.
Yeah,
but you know, Paul was like, guys, don't look down, but I pooped my pants. Like, hey, Bobby, I said don't look. But I'm going to say it's my knee, so I'm going to need y'all to get one more person and carry me to a wheelchair.
Yeah, how are you like getting that
and
message to the trainers?
I'm going to need some new drawers and some new shorts.
Because you know the equipment guys got get the backup shorts.
No one gets backup shorts because usually you have a backup uniform in case it gets ripped or blood on it.
Tony with the Rockets had
of
backup.
What's the extra pair of shorts for? Well, Paul poops himself, so we got to have... You know, we got to have some extras just in case.
I know they wear the gloves when someone's bleeding to make sure they don't get anything. I'd be wearing the gloves if I had to wash those shorts.
Bro, that's so funny because that had to be an actual conversation on the floor.
Right.
Hey, guys, listen, I can't walk. You know how when you got to poop real bad, you can't walk because you might poop yourself?
Oh, yeah, cramp up, yep.
So I'm going to need y'all to carry my crappy butt back to the locker room
now, of
to
all
a
the,
wheelchair.
I know you guys think I watch a lot of basketball, but now whenever
nasty
I see the hardwood ball. Classics on NBA... NBA channel, I always want to turn them off. If that game ever comes up, I'd watch it just to see, now that I know the rest of the story.
If he crapped himself?
Yeah, and who he talked
right before
to
that?
And how they set it up and then where the wheelchair was. And
oh, that's so funny.
All that stuff. Yeah, that makes it interesting because you think about it, you can't come right out in the right away and tell the story. Plus, there's going to be a lot of people really ticked
Say
off.
Say no more, fam!
Oh, what did you find there? Got him! Barry found the picture.
If you're on the stream, you're going to go see Paul Pierce's boo-boo shorts right there. Either that or he got his period on the court. One of the two.
Nice.
But,
and you couldn't admit it right away.
There is definitely a stain on those shorts. Can you see it clearly, Nicholas?
Can't really see it clearly from there.
No.
Retweet it.
All right. I will retweet this. It came from, so Complex Sports has it. They posted it to June 5th. And it says, Paul Pierce just admitted that he wasn't hurt when he was taken off the court. He just had to go to the bathroom. So they show a picture of him in the wheelchair making like, my knee, like his face is all in pain. There's a picture next to that that zoomed in on his butt. There's a stain. There's a definite poop mark there. There's definitely a skid mark.
Scared turtle made an appearance.
So thanks to Mark Villalobos for sending that to me. I'm going to retweet that right now. @BarryIsFunny if you want to see it. Dude definitely pooped his pants.
And you can't admit
confirmed.
That. You can't admit that right away because Paul Pierce was known as the truth.
he'd have been known as the poops? No, he'd have been known as the poop for the rest of his
poop,
career.
Yeah.
Paul the Poop Pierce.
Because
Triple P.
Here the P works right into it.
Man, that's too funny. Hey, appreciate you, Mark Villalobos.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
That's outstanding.
That was the best information he's given the entire playoffs.
That really. That's
because of all
funny.
The guys on that show, he just, I don't know if he tries too hard, but he's always trying to talk mess about somebody and something. I was like, let's just get down to the brass tacks of the X's and O's. Who's going to win? He's always like crapping on somebody.
Right.
But he is.
I should have seen that.
Maybe. But you didn't, and that's what makes it better.
I knew there was going to be poop puns at some point from you or the listeners. One of the two.
Nick?
I just knew.
Why not Nick? He could have come up with
Nick doesn't make poop puns.
No, but he could have.
That's you and about 12 other listeners. And me.
And? Your point
me
is?
Me sometimes.
Yes. Yeah,
maybe I'll make a poop joke every now and then. Maybe.
I also have to admit that I watched some Stanley Cup last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That bored, huh?
Well, it was, you know, it's a
who's series. In the Stanley Cup final?
St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins.
No, don't tell me.
Too late for that.
Yeah.
It is the Corpus Rough Riders and the Anchorage
Sled Dogs.
Yes.
Better answer than I would have given, I tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's this is unfortunate.
The puck use?
Huh?
The puck use?
Hey.
Hey, it's a college team.
No, it's not a college team. So you watched it and?
So I watched it, and the big takeaway, other than the Blues going up 3-2 in the series, is official screwing up calls has now gotten into Stanley Cup hockey as well. Last night, with the Blues leading 1-0, final period, time ticking away, in Boston, the captain of the Bruins is about to intercept the puck and get something started, and one of the Blues players comes from behind with his stick and kind of ankle whips him to the back of his skates.
Is that a hockey term?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Fred will tell you that. I just know that he ankle whipped him, swept his skate right off his skates. Skates go over his head, lands on his shoulders and his head, and while he's laying on the ice, 15 seconds later, the Blues score to go up 2-0. Boston fans lost their mind.
Well, they started fighting in the stands. Did you
I didn't
see
know
Rahil's
that.
Tweet?
You told me that. I didn't
Rahil
know that.
Tweeted out or retweeted something. It's just two, like, you can see these two Bostonians.
Yeah.
And one has the Bruins. Yeah, one has the Bruins thing on, and they're like arguing, and the guy's like, well, come on. And then the dude throws his beer in his face, and then they start scrapping. And then the dude with the camera pans left, and his other two guys start fighting. And I was like, that is so Boston.
Really is.
That you're fighting your own fans in the stadium.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird, but that's definitely a Boston thing.
You know what,
to
your point,
sure.
too, because the big guy from Barstool is a Bruins fan.
Is he? No surprise.
For game four, he went to St. Louis, and he was sitting amongst a whole bunch of like older St. Louis Blues fans, and the Blues scored, and the guy behind him's got one of those like terrible towels.
Saw that.
Smacked him in the back of the head, and then denied it like he didn't do it, and they were filming the whole thing, and I was like, this dude here.
You're totally busted.
Yeah, that was dirty.
Oh, that's too funny. Lowen said, hey, you guys are awesome. No one else is talking about Paul's poopy pants. I love this show.
It's the real stories that you only get on The Usual Suspects.
Lowen, stick around, buddy.
Speaking of The Usual Suspects... Look who's on the board. Wait, look what he wants to talk about.
I got to read this first. Right. This might be text of the week. Paul Pierce predicted he would make it until halftime. That's outstanding. That's a very good text, yes, sir and or ma'am. All right, yes.
All right.
Let's do this.
All right, Jerry.
Speaking of knowing what it's like to poop your pants, Jerry's on the phone. How's that intro, buddy?
All right. That's messed up. Hey, remember, you're a big UFC guy. Remember Yoel Romero?
Yes.
That happened to him?
Yes.
I love you, Michael Bisping. See you soon, boy. And crap his pants right there.
With the sound. That was pretty good, Jerry.
I think they actually put in a rule now that if you do that, like, you can be disqualified.
If you poop in your pants?
Yeah, like, if you defecate, like, during a fight, like, let's say you're losing, right? And you go, you know what? I'm just going to rip it. You can actually just get disqualified.
What
at
if
any
you
point.
Just got the knocked out of you? I didn't say it. I almost said it. What if you
doesn't
just,
matter.
Yeah, really?
The shit too?
No.
Doesn't matter.
You're going to make Nick have a heart
attack. I think they changed that rule after he said, I love you, Barry.
I do know locally. Every time this comes up, I tell the story about a local fighter. And I forget his name now. He was a horrible person, too. Levi West.
Wow.
Just a total weirdo. But he threw up on himself during the fight. And he called a timeout. Like, there's no timeouts in fighting. You don't
get... Oh, yeah. And he jumped out the ring.
Did he jump out the ring? I'm trying to remember, but
yeah. He jumped out the ring and just walked away.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's like, time out, and he just left. I saw that yesterday, randomly.
Really?
Anyway, yo, who do you got for the big fight tomorrow? Well, the Cowboy fight. Cowboy and, El Kukui.
That's a good question. It's hard to bet against Cowboy. I love everything about that dude's game, man.
He just seems like he's getting better and better.
Anyway, boys, have a good weekend.
Appreciate it.
He absolutely shouldn't be. He's getting older. He shouldn't be getting better. Yeah, appreciate the call, Jerry.
Here's another tidbit that I did not know when you guys were talking about that. Throwing up on yourself, pooping yourself.
Yes.
Last week at swim class. So Taylor goes from dance class to swim class. And in between, Lisa thinks it's a good idea to feed her. And I'm like, Lisa, she's going into the pool after she just got done jumping around at dance class. That's not a good thing. And she's like, look, I know, you know, we make decisions as parents, but I think I know what I'm doing here. I'm like, okay. So we sit down in the lawn chairs to watch Taylor get in the swim to the pool. And about 10 minutes in, Lisa's like, you know what? I got to go to the front desk to make sure she signed up for the next class. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm just watching Taylor go through the lessons with the rest of the kids. And all of a sudden I look and I'm like, she's got something hanging from her chin. Mm. And I'm like, what just happened? And all of a sudden, it's like a code 5.
Oh,
the alarm
no.
goes off. There's like everybody out of the pool kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be. And then they take like, you know, when you're cleaning out your fish tank, they take the net and they start scooping things in the water. And I'm going, okay, it's about like a 30-second delay, right? We're just going to get back in the water. Nope, the whole class was canceled. Everyone had to leave. Lisa comes running over to me just like horrified and goes, did our kid just throw up in the pool? And I go, I don't know. I don't think it was full chunks. She might have like burped or something. She's like, well, because of it, they have to clean and sanitize the whole pool
area,
and everything's
so
off. She goes, now we got to walk out with Taylor and they got to know it's our kid. I'm like, well, I'll go get the car.
I love Lisa. Lisa's so vain. She's like, I'm not walking out with her. I'll meet y'all around
so
back.
I'm gonna
pick me up by the dumpster.
No, and
I'm not walking out with that nasty ass kid saying she's mine. No way. Like, Lisa, that's your daughter.
So she grabbed Taylor, got her in the shower in the shade room. I was like, I'll go get the car.
I'll meet you up front. You walk out with her. Then boy, you're talking about some disloyal ass parents.
I was like, I'm out. Yeah. I'll get the car.
That's the funniest thing in the world. Both of y'all were like, hey, that ain't my kid. I don't know some nasty ass kid this is throwing up in the pool, but that's gross. Meet me in the car, baby.
That's so disgusting. And Lisa's like, let's go home. I go, no, the kid class was canceled. We get another class. It's scheduled. She goes, I'll do it online.
I can totally see Taylor like, mommy, daddy. I'm not your daddy. I don't even know you, little girl. Who are you? Where's your daddy? Come with me. I'll help you find your daddy. Shut up. Get in the car. Just come with me, little girl. Oh, that's so funny, Joel.
So we got out.
Oh, my God.
And if you really wanted to get away, if you weren't staying in town to get away, you would go to someplace like besthotelrates.com.
There you go.
Why? Because you're looking for the best deal possible at the best rates on great hotels across the world. And besthotelrates.com does all the dirty work for you. Well, they already have deals with 600,000 hotels worldwide. A lot of the hotels you probably either have stayed at in the past or have wanted to stay at going forward, but you know that their rates are pretty high. Well, not if you check besthotelrates.com. rates.com first because they negotiate the deal so you don't have to and get you the best rates as they pass the savings on to you. All you do is go to besthotelrates.com. You enter the dates of your travel and your destination city, and the deals start popping up with all the different hotels. And the great thing is, from the customer service to the security of backing up your reservations, they also make sure that every place you stay is clean and safe, and so are your reservations. So like I said, it is the one-stop shop for anytime you need a hotel room for business or for your family vacations. Check them out. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of a fun F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel wrapping it up for you, putting a bow on it and giving it off to the Blitz at 4 o'clock. As we've covered some ground, comedian of the week,
busy
Astros,
show today.
Rockets, finals. We got tonight, finals.
Fun show today.
I think Golden State evens the series tonight.
I do too, but damn, if I keep doubting Toronto and they keep proving everybody wrong.
We all did last game, but I just think everybody.
But I don't want to be so reactionary that I would be like, oh, well, now I'm going to flip flop and be like, Toronto's the team, and I'm just going to stick with. I think we all said Warriors in six. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to stick with that.
That's what I'm doing, too. And I'm saying they even it tonight. It's desperation for them. They know they got to win it.
Yeah.
And if you go by the law, the land with Boogie, off game, good game, off game,
yeah,
Heat, good game. So, if Clay gives you anything at all to help Steph, I think they win at home.
Okay. Nick, who you got tonight?
I think Golden State ties it up as well, for sure. Great. For sure. I feel like this is the type of situation that now if they don't, then this might be the end of an era that we've all been.
Yeah, that's the thing. The guys this morning on Get Up
Clay
and otherwise,
KD
they were talking about, oh, the Warriors still can run the table and win three straight. They could, but you got to play in Toronto two of those three games. Mm-hmm. I don't like their chances.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So Casey texted the show. And he said, Barry, I'm 33 and make and sell beef jerky as a hobby. Everyone really likes it, and I constantly sell out when I make it. I feel like I could kill it if I could devote my time to it. The problem is I have two kids to think about. I have a good job that's hard to give up to chase a dream that might not pan out. What advice do you have for me, sir? Sincerely, Casey. Hashtag Dingleberry for life. So I'm opening up to you guys. I'm not the only one, obviously, that can give advice on that. But so I want to get your thoughts, too. But dude, there's no reason you can't work a side business and work your regular job. Most people that are chasing a dream, like, still do it. When I was, before I got into radio, I could still do comedy. I had the cage door, which was something that AJ and I were very passionate about, but we did it on the side. It just means you have to work harder and work more hours. Now, so your 40 hour week, when I used to ask AJ, when I had the cage door, 100 hours a week was nothing for me. Like, right. I would knock out 100 hours easily. So it just depends, Casey, how bad do you want it? You know, you gotta market your business, so make sure you don't skimp on marketing and spending money, but it all comes down to how bad do you want it, how much time do you want to spend on it?
I mean, I think we're in the era of multiple sources of income.
Yep.
I don't think, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and how her mother has been with the same company since she graduated from college, and she's been there for like 68 years, and that just doesn't happen that much anymore. You have to kind of dibble dabble in a bunch of things, and if you really are doing it anyway, that's kind of probably, I'm imagining, a low cost business. If you do that, man, there's platforms out there. Sell it on Amazon, they'll let you sell it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You can sell it on a website, I believe it's called Shopify.com. you can like put whatever you make and just sell it on. They even handle packaging and a whole bunch. There's a bunch of ways you can do it. It's not going to be easy. You still have to market. You still have to spend some money, but I don't think anybody in this room has one source of income.
And here's the thing. Plan your program, right? So plan out how much of this can I do while still not interfering with my regular job, my kids, my family, those kind of things, so that you can try and maximize your free time as much as possible to see if it's going to pan out. And then it goes back to when you said advice to your 12-year-old self. You know people. You have people now, and you have a lot of direct access to them with Facebook and Twitter and private messages and otherwise. Go on, anybody start their own business and pick their brain. Because undoubtedly, those people are going to tell you, just like we did with your 12-year-old self, they're going to go, if I had it to do over again,
this is what I would do.
I wouldn't have put this much money into this right away on advertising or this. I would have instead gone slowly a step at a time until I built up a following and people like my – things like that. Yep. So talk to people.
Yeah. As a serial entrepreneur, I can tell you that some of the most – valuable lessons you'll learn is just doing stuff, and you'll figure things out. Now, two things I would do differently on all the businesses that I've had that have failed. One is I had read a book that said one thing that's really important about a business is putting systems in place so that they can run themselves and other people can do it. Because as an entrepreneur, you want to take on everything. You want to do everything. Like, I don't trust anybody else to do the marketing but me, or the sales but me, or the manufacturing but me, or making it or whatever it is. But make sure that you write all that down and can you pass it on to somebody else so that it frees you up to do other important things for the business. And then the other thing is get a mentor, get a coach. Mm-hmm. Dude, business coaches and mentors are worth every single penny. And if you have a good job that pays you well, pay for a business coach or a business mentor. Because a good one, I saw my buddy Justin. He and I are both serial entrepreneurs. We talk business and, you know, running a business all the time. And I have always failed, and he had always failed. And then he got a coach. That dude is killing it.
Really?
Like, absolutely he is killing it. And he said that's the reason. And that it finally somebody held him accountable as opposed to him being the final say in everything. He had this coach that would be like, nope, what'd you do this week? This is what you're supposed to do. Did you do it? So, I mean, it can be done. And there was a great text that came into your point, Nick. Somebody said, dude, you got to work weekends and evenings and sell at flea markets and festivals to get started.
That in a nutshell is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
those two things.
I mean, just go
and
find places.
I didn't know you can pay to get a coach, but you probably know somebody already that's already endured the trials and tribulations of starting their own business that can give you some good advice along the way. And if you can get a coach, do it.
Business coaches are worth every dime.
I actually had a friend that, you know, those human sized Jengas at bars that they have at bars these days.
Yeah.
And how they put Connect Fours at bars these days, like big human sized Connect Fours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This guy just started making, you know, had a little. I guess a little wood shop in his garage. He started making Connect Fours and human sized Jengas. Where did he go? He went to bars.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Woodrow's and stuff like that. I didn't think he would make that much money, but he's doing okay. So look, you just gotta hustle. Everybody's struggling with the hustle,
Listen,
man. Everybody, believe me.
Yeah.
Even us.
Oh yeah. If you think that you know, we're just working 3 hours a day on the radio, trust me. I have a ton of irons in the fire. So it's just how bad do you want it?
Yep. No doubt about it.
Good luck, too, man. Good luck.
Well, we want you to have a great weekend. We appreciate you being suspects and listening to the show. And, of course, make sure that it's a weekly listening experience. Every day, 1 to 4 during the week. We hope to have you come back for more. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.